Middle of Torah Aleph on Likutei Moran. We're up to, on the first page in our Likutei Moran, it's Daf Aleph, the left-hand column, about two-thirds way down the page, where the paragraph begins with the words, V'alidei zeh niskablin kol hatfilos v'bakoshos. Just to give a very, very quick, short synopsis, Rabbein Ezal started off by saying that through Torah, all the tfilos and bakoshos of a person are accepted. And Rabbein Ezal said, because nowadays the chain of Bnei Yisrael is very much downtrodden, and the chashivos, the goyim, are the ones that seem to be very choshuv, but lo sidlov, through the study of Torah, the chain and chashivos of Bnei Yisrael is elevated. Because there's a pasuk in Mishlei actually that says that the Torah is called Ya'alas Chein, Shema Lechein Alimdeho, the Gemara Darshins, that the Torah places a chain, a charm, on those that learn it. Then Rabbein Ezal spoke about a Jew's obligation to look for this. That was the opening paragraph that summarizes the major concept behind this whole chapter on Likutei Moran. Then Rabbein Ezal starts getting into details and building the whole picture. Rabbein Ezal says that a Yid is required to look for the Seichel in every object and to bind himself to the Seichel in every object so that that Seichel should bring him close to Hashem. Meaning, the Torah says that Kulam b'chochma siso, Hashem created everything in this world with chochma, with seichel, which implies that every object in this world, whether it be people, animals, plants, buildings, everything and anything in this world contains in it chochma. It's possible for a Jew to rise to such a level where he can look at every single object and identify the chochma, the seichel in it, to the extent where he attaches himself to that seichel, and that seichel serves as a rope or as a chain leading him to Hashem. Since Hashem is the mokar of Chochma, and Hashem is the one who created this with Chochma, by identifying the Chochma and attaching myself to it, it can actually lead me close to Hashem. Then Rabbein Ezal said that this is the difference between Yaakov and Lahavdil Esav Harosho. By Yaakov Avinu, the name Yaakov, the Targum says on the word Vayakveni, Vachakmeni, that Yaakov Avinu is the concept of Chochmah. When Esav said he tricked me, the Targum says Vachakmeni, he outsmarted me, that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Chochmah. That's why he went after the Bechira, the birthright, because the birthright means to be the firstborn. And first means Chochmah. There's a pasuk, Reishis Chochmah. First is Chochmah. Whereas about Esav, it's written, Vayivez Esav ez Abchira, that Esav despised the Bechira, the birthright, by giving it away easily. It showed his disdain, his disrespect for Sechel. As the pasuk says, Lo yachboitz ksil bisvuna, kiim bishriras liboy. A fool doesn't want intellect. He wants to do only what his heart desires. I like this, I enjoy it. I don't care whether it makes sense to do, whether it's the right thing to do. I like it, therefore I do it. Then Rabbein Ezal said, however, because of the fact that the light of Seichel is very bright, for us to assume that every single Jew could do this, could look at a chair and see in it Chochmah, and that Chochmah lead him to come close to Hashem, we can't necessarily assume that for every Jew, that's within their capacity. Could be that's too high a level. The light of Chochmah, this level of Chochmah, for a common person might be too great. Therefore, Rabbein Ezal says, you need a stepping stone, you need a prerequisite. The prerequisite to the Chochmah is Malchus. What is Malchus? Malchus is known in Sifrei Kabbalah as the concept of Tzimtzum, constriction. Malchus is synonymous with Emunah. Emunah means that I acknowledge that I don't understand. Emunah is the opposite of Seichel. Where Seichel ends is where Emunah begins. Seichel refers to the eyes. The pasuk says about Adam and Chava, Vatipokachno Einei Shnehem, their eyes were opened up, Pikeach. The pikchus is in the eyes, whereas emunah is only in that which I don't see, which I don't understand. That's where emunah begins. So Rabbi Nizal says that a person needs malchus as a prerequisite, meaning a person has to be prepared to assume, as Rabbi Nachman Shigerinzal explains in the Parparos L'Chochma, a Jew has to be prepared to assume that I won't necessarily understand everything. I won't necessarily, hopefully I'll try my best to do this. But what if I can't see the seichel in a certain object in the world? Will I assume that it's not there? Will I assume that Hashem is not inside this item? Chas v'shalom. When I don't understand, I'll tag off to my emunah, to the bechina of malchus. Malchus is, just like malchus is compared to the moon, the les lo migarmo klum, as we explained last week. Malchus, kingdom, is something which the king doesn't possess at all. It's not, I'm a king. If others accept my authority over them, I'm king. Kingdom is not something that comes from the king himself. So too, emunah is something which has no light of its own. Emunah is symbolized by the levona, the moon, the absence of light. And Rabbi Nizal said that when a person attaches these two items together, the Chochma and the Malchus, and he showed us how Chochma is represented by the letter Ches in the Hebrew alphabet, and Malchus is represented by the letter Nun, when a person attaches those two items together, then he's zeicha that the Oyer HaLevona is elevated to the Oyer HaChama, that these two become, normally we assume that the light of the moon is smaller than the light of the sun, but if a Jew is zeicha to combine these two, to attach the Malchus and the Chochma, he's zeicha to attach the Emuna and the Chochma, then he's zeicha that these two stand side by side with each other. This is pretty much where we left off last week. Now we continue, and now Rabbi Nizal is going to clarify Lemaisa what this means. And through this, all the tefillos, all the prayers and bakoshos, all the requests that a person makes are accepted, are readily accepted by Hashem. Why? Rabbi Nizal explains now. What prevents a person's tefillos from being accepted? We mentioned this last week. If I approach Joe Blow and I ask him for $100,000, it's conceivable that he owns that much. It's conceivable that he doesn't own it. Even if he does own it, it's conceivable that it's available, it's not available. He can give it, he can't give it. By Hashem, that problem, that option is not available. About Hashem, we say Hashem is koil yochol. There's nothing that Hashem can't do. So cannot is not an option by Hashem. That teretz, that excuse Hashem doesn't have. Elomai, how is it conceivable for Hashem not to be interested in fulfilling a person's request, the person's tefillah? Rabbi Nizal says, ki ikor ma she'ein niskablin habakoshos note. He uses Rabbi Nizal's words, you have to be very medactic in. He doesn't say this is the only reason. He says, ki ikor, the main reason. If a person wants to study this carefully, there might be several reasons why Hashem wouldn't respond to a person's tefillah. But Rabbi Nizal wants to tell us here now what's the main reason. And you're going to see that this applies even begashmias. You'll apply this to when you make a request from a human being. You're going to see the reason that Rabbi Nizal is going to present here also applies. Rabbi Nizal says, ki ikor ma she'ein niskablin habakoshos, the main reason as to why a person's request will not be accepted by Hashem, will not be fulfilled, who machmas she'ein lahadvorim chein, is simply because the person's request does not have chein. It's lacking in charm. The person's words don't find favor in the eyes of Hashem. Ve'ein nechnosen b'leiv shel zeh she'mevakshim imenu. And the person's words do not enter into the heart of the one whom you're asking. Ki'ilu ein b'liboy mokoim she'ichnesu advorim b'liboy. It's as if the one whom you're asking has no place in his heart for you. Very simple. We know that there are times when people are close friends, or when somebody says, I respect you very much, I like you very much. What does that mean? That means you take up some space within this person's life, within this person's heart. When you approach this person and say, I'd like to speak to you about something, there's a certain percentage of this person's ears and heart that's available to you, that's open to you. Whereas, when a person doesn't like you, obviously there's no room in that person's heart for you. You can talk from today till tomorrow. You can present the greatest argument and the greatest excuse and the best project in the world. You don't have a place by this person. So he's not hearing what you're saying. He won't even bother to figure out whether what you're saying makes sense or it's profitable, it's a good idea. Nothing. You have no place by this person. So Rabbi Nezal says, therefore, ve'ein nichnosim b'leiv zeh shemavakshim imenu, kilo ein b'liboy mokam mishnichnosu advorim b'liboy. Why machmas she'ein la'amavakesh chein sheyichnosu advorim b'liboy shel zeh shemavakshim imenu? Because of the fact that the one that's requesting is lacking in chein. He doesn't have charm. So therefore, there's no place within the heart of the one whom he's requesting from to be open to listen to what he has to say. Avol al yedei ha-Torah, but through the Torah, shal yedei zeh nischabrin v'niskashrin, hanun v'haches kanal. We explained in last week's shiur how the Torah represents the ches and the nun. The Torah represents chokhma, sechel, and the Torah also represents the Malchus Digdusha, because we quoted the Gemara in Brochus, which says, La'olam yargiz yetzer tov al yetzer hara, that there's a battle between two kings that's taking place. The Pusuk says, by Yaakov and Esav, when they were born, what were they called? Shnei Goyim Bevitneich. The Gemara darshins, the word Goyim is written without a Vav. It's written as Gimel Yud Yud Mem. Shnei Geyim Bevitneich. There are two kings battling it out within your womb. Within Rivka's womb, she was carrying Yaakov and Esav, who were two kings. Yaakov Avinu represented the Malchus Digdusha, the kingdom of holiness. Esav represented the Malchus Harishur, the Malchus Edom. Just as by Rivka, she had this battle between these two kings inside of her, so too each and every single Jew has inside him two kings that are fighting it out. The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. We explained last week that the Yetzer Hara is called in the Torah Melech Zokein Uksil. So he represents a Malchus. If he's a Malchus, then naturally the Yetzer Tov is also an opposing Malchus. These two kings are battling it out. So the Gemara said that if a person sees that he's not strong enough to have the Yetzer Tov within him, overcome the Yetzer Hara, what should he do? Yasek b'Torah. He should study Torah, because the Torah is also kingdom. There's a pasuk that says, "Bi melochim yimloichu." Through me, kings will rule. The Torah possesses in it a quality of royalty, of malchus. Through the study of Torah, a person is mechazek, a person strengthens the malchus digdusha, the Yetzer Tov, over the Yetzer Hara. So the Torah represents both the Ches and the Nun. Rabbi Nezal says that through the study of Torah, Nischabrim v'niskashrim hanun v'ches kanal, the Nun and the Ches become united and attached. V'nase chein. And this is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that the Torah places a chein upon one that studies it, because the Torah possesses the qualities of the Ches and the qualities of the Nun. The alkein nikras haTorah yalas chein. This is why the pasuk in Mishlei gives the Torah a nickname chein yalas chein, that the Torah places charm. Va'azai zoyche shedvorav heim divrei chein. And then when a Jew is zoyche to study Torah, and after studying Torah he goes ahead and makes a request from somebody, or he goes ahead and is mispalel tashem, now his words are armed with chein. Va'azayin iskablim dvorov u'bakashoisov. And then his words and his requests are easily accepted. K'moymi shemedaber divrei chein. Just as when it comes to a human being making a request from another human being, when a person speaks divrei chein, shenichnosim advorim b'leiv hamizvakesh, the words go inside to the heart, the words reach the heart of the one whom you're requesting from, the Hainu Zeh Shemavakshim Imenu. Now Rabbi Nezal explains, V'zeh Bechinas Tov. Once you have this chein, once a person is zeichet to have this chein, and this person goes ahead and makes a request from another individual, Rabbi Nezal says that represents the letter Tov. Why? Hainu al yedei sheniskhabru veniskashru haches vahanun, through the attachment of the Ches and the Nun, the Nase Bechinas Chain, and there is created Chain, Al Yidei Zeh Nase Bechinas Tof. That also creates a Tof. What does Tof represent? There's a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Tes, where Hashem says to the Navi, I want you to engrave the letter Tof on the foreheads of those that are tzaddikim. I want you to engrave an inscription. The Hebrew word that's used over there for inscription, for an engravement, is Tof. Rabbi Nezal says, "Bechinas Tof shei loshen chakiko rishima." The letter Tof refers to an inscription, something that you carve out. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says clearly in Yecheskel, "V'hisviso Tof al mitzchocha." The pasuk says over there, you'll carve out a mark on their foreheads. So we see that the letter Tof represents when you carve out a place, when you etch out something within something else, that's represented by this letter Tof. So when a Jew is zeichet to have chein, and he uses this chein to carve out a place within somebody else's heart, he approaches somebody else with this chein, and we know that this chein possesses a koyach to carve out, to dig out a place within the heart of somebody that you're going to approach for something, that carving out of the place is represented, is symbolized by this letter Tuf. The letter Tuf is called an engravement, an inscription. Kal yedei hachein nechkak v'nirsham mokoim b'leiv hamizbakesh l'kabel abakosha. Because we said that through this chein, there is carved out a place within the one whose heart you're looking to reach, to get him to fulfill your request. Kal yedei hachein niskablu dvorov. Because it's the chein that you possess that causes your words to be easily liked and enjoyed, and the other person has a desire to fulfill them. Nimtzo shebechinas hachein chokak mokoim b'leiv ze shemevakshim imenu. So we see that the chein that the person had is what actually carved out a place in the heart of the one whom he's requesting, kidei sheyichnesu dvorov b'liboi, so that your words should enter into that person's heart, v'yekabel bakoshoso, and he should be willing to accept your bakosho. V'achakiko v'orishimo ze bechinas tof kanal. And this act of carving out a place, that's symbolized by the letter Tuf. Now just to pause here for a second, Rabbein Azal said clearly that through the Hischabrus and the Hiskashrus of the Ches and Nun is formed a Tuf. One of the Meforshim in the back brings that you'll see that this even works physically. When you draw the letter Ches, and alongside it you put a Nun, and you attach the Nun, you overlay, you put the Ches first, then the Nun, then you press them together to bind them, you find that there's literally formed the letter Tuf. This is symbolic, this represents what Rabbein Azal is explaining here. That when a Jew is zeichet to have chein, you should know that the nature of chein is such that when a person possesses this, and this person approaches other people for things, the chein itself automatically makes a place. It places an imprint within the heart. It vacates space by the one whom you're approaching to ask, that the person feels very ready, very receptive to what you want to ask. It's not that he feels filled up. You offer a person a delicious piece of chocolate cake, the most tasty, appetizing piece. If the person just finished a meal and he ate the wrong way, he ate achila gasa, not the way the Torah says a Jew is supposed to eat, the maximum till 2/3 of your capacity, but instead this person ate like a boor, and he ate to the point that he filled up 3/3. He's totally on full, can't eat another thing. And you put a delicious piece of cake in front of him, he knows that that's delicious, but it's painful. He knows if he eats that now, it's going to hurt. Every bite going down is going to hurt because I'm very, very full. So it's not that there's a chisoron in the cake. The cake is delicious, but there's no place for it. So too, the exact same concept. You could have the best deal to offer to somebody. A person's coming, a businessman, a salesman. He's selling insurance, whatever he's selling. And he wants to, unless there's an opening, unless the other person is receptive, this deal on paper makes so much sense, you have to be an idiot not to take it. But so what? The person has a policy. The one that sold it to him is his brother. He knows if he changes policies, his brother will kill him, his wife will divorce him and everything. So he knows there's no place, there's no room whatsoever to be receptive to accepting the offer that this person is making. This is this concept of the chain. But when a person is zeichet to chain, chain supersedes all logic. When a person has chain, then you come to a person. We find that the clear example of this in Megillas Esther. Esther Amalka approached Ahasuerus. What excuse would he possibly have for wanting to fulfill her request? The Megillah says, "Vatihi Esther noises chain be'enei kol royeho." Hashem placed a gift upon her, a glow that anybody that looked at her, she had this glow of chain. A person has that glow, people are jumping to do something for that person. A person considers it a privilege to have this person ask them for a favor, to have this person ask them for something to do for them. Rabbi Nizal says now, "V'zehu divrei chachomim benachas nishmoim." Rabbi Nizal says, this is what the Pasuk in Koheles means when it says that the words of chachomim are accepted with nachas, are accepted smoothly, easily. Rabbi Nizal says, nachas daiko. Why is this word nachas used to represent how easily and smoothly an intelligent person's words are accepted, are listened to, are heard? Rabbi Nizal says, because the word nachas, haynu b'chinas hachein hanal, v'hatof hanal. The word nachas represents the combination of the chein on the part of the person who's making the request, and the tof on the part of the person that's receiving the request. He's got room inside of him to receive this person's request. The combination of the two forms this word nachas. And then the person's words are listened to, and his request is fulfilled. Now the Meforshim in the back tell us, if you take a look at this pasuk in Koheles, and you look at the Targum on this Pasuk, the Targum shows you clearly what kind of words are we talking about. The Targum says, Mili ditzloiso dechakimayo miskablim kodomoriomo. The words of Tfila, of a Chacham, are readily accepted by Hashem. Note, which Divrei Chachamim are we talking about? A Chacham, one who arms, who clothes his Tfila in Torah. He sees to it to sandwich the tefillah and Torah. First, he learns Torah, and the Torah teaches him what to want in this world, what to like, what to dislike, what to respect, what to disrespect. Then he approaches Hashem in tefillah, saying, Hashem, I just learned a daf of Gemara, or a daf of Shulchan Aruch, or a daf of Likud Imran, whatever it is, and I was given an inkling as to what a Jew is supposed to want in this world. The fact that a Jew is supposed to want Seichel, a Jew is supposed to want a beautiful pair of tefillin, a Jew is supposed to want that his children should be dressed neatly, because the Torah says that if a Jew goes around dirty or smelly, Rachmona Litzlan, it's Chilul Hashem, it's a disgrace to Hashem. So if a Jew learns that, and then he puts that into tefillah, he converts that to tefillah, and then as a result of the tefillah, he goes ahead and learns more Torah, this combination, this sandwiching and clothing of the tefillah in Torah, in Chochmah, this is what gives the tefillah chein by Hashem. The tefillah has chein, and it's very easily accepted by Hashem. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein Yaakov shu b'chinas ha-seichel kanal, and that's why, this is why, we explained earlier, last week, that the symbol of seichel is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is the one who wanted the birthright, he went after the b'chayra, which is rachis, which is chochmah. V'alkein Yaakov shu b'chinas ha-seichel kanal, alkein zocho l'chein. Because he had seichel, therefore he was zeichet to chein. Because we explained that seichel is the beginning of chein. Chein is ches and nun. Seichel is the ches. And seichel is also the nun in terms of the Torah giving you this koyach of malchus. As the Kamoish Kosovo, as the Pasuk says, Ki chanani elikim. Yaakov Avinu said, Ki chanani elikim v'chi yesh li koil. I have chein and I have everything. Because as we said earlier, if a person has chein, there's nothing you're lacking, because anything you have, anything you ask for, will be easily granted. V'alkein beirach es hashvotem b'chein. And this is why we find that Yaakov Avinu considered it so important when he gave a bracha to his children. What did he bless them with? He blessed them with chein. K'mo shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Hayilodim asher chonan li elikim. The children whom Hashem has graced me with, Chonan Elikim. He was implying that Hashem had given each and every one of them this gift of Chayin. Ubinyamin Loihoyoz. This is when Yaakov Avinu was speaking to Esav. This was prior to the birth of Binyamin. If you recall, when Yosef was born, that's when Yaakov Avinu left the house of Lavan, and he traveled to Eretz Yisrael because he knew that Binyamin had to be born inside of Eretz Yisrael. He was called Benyamin. Binyamin is Benyamin. Yamin is Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbein Ezal says, because of the fact that Binyamin wasn't alive yet, V'alkein Berachoy Yosef Bechein. Therefore, he had to receive a separate bracha for Chein, because he was not included within the Chein that Yaakov Avinu had given to the other sons. K'moy Shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Elohim Yochnecho Bini. We find that when Yosef HaTzadik first saw Binyamin, what bracha did he give him? He said to him, may Hashem bless you with Chein. Why is it that Bedavke Yosef HaTzadik was able to give this bracha? Why not Reuven? Why not Yehuda? Ki Yosef hayokolol biyoser mebechinas Yaakov. Because out of all the Shvatim, the one that best represented Yaakov Avinu was Yosef HaTzadik. K'moy shekosev, as the pasuk says, Eile toildos Yaakov Yosef. The pasuk says, Eile toildos Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvayas Rishono, and the Gemara Darshans, Eile Toldos Yaakov Yosef, that we see that just as the life of Yaakov Avinu followed a certain pattern, so too the life of Yosef HaTzadik followed an identical pattern. That Yaakov and Yosef were exactly the same. They lived the same exact type of life. Ki hu hayo ikar toldosov. Yosef HaTzadik was the main hoylodo of Yaakov Avinu. Ki Yaakov v'Yosef kechodo chashivi. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Yaakov and Yosef are considered one. We know that al pi Kabbalah, Yaakov Avinu represents Tiferes, which is the letter Vav. Yosef HaTzadik represents Yesoid, which is also the letter Vav. The Zohar HaKadosh says Vav Ravrava is Tiferes, Vav Ze'era is Yesoid. So we see that both of them are represented by the same letter. Both of them are one. Both of them are symbolized by the Vav of Yudke Vavke. The Yud is Chochma, the Ke is Bina. The Vav is Zeranpin, which is Tiferes and Yesoid. Guf Ubris Chadhu, the Zohar HaKadosh says. Tiferes is the Guf, Yesoid is the Bris. They are one. So we see that Yaakov and Yosef are one. V'alkein nemar b'Yosef b'choir shoiroi hoderloi. This is why we find that when Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef HaTzadik the bracha, he said to him these words, b'choir shoiroi hoderloi. Rabbein Ezal takes each one of these words apart now. B'choir hu b'chinas ha-seichel kanal. The word b'choir represents chochma. We said before, reishis chochma. B'choira means the firstborn. Reishis is chochma. The word loshur in Hebrew means to look at, to observe. What does Yosef HaTzadik do with this b'chayra, with this chachma? He looks with it. He looks with seichel. He looks for the seichel in every object. And what is that seichel? Once he finds that seichel, what does it do for him? Ki Rabbein Ezal says, "V'zeh shoyro loshin istaklis ki tzrichen lehistakel ba'seichel sheyesh b'chol dover kanal." A Jew has to look for and look at the seichel that's inside everything. V'zehu hodar loy targumunkalois zivle. What does this seichel do? It shines for him. Loshin oyer ziv is a concept of oyer, light. Ki haseichel meir loy b'chol dover. Because we explained earlier that when a person has seichel, the seichel serves as a flashlight. It shines a beam of light, giving the person direction, showing the person where to go, showing the person what's up ahead of them. Afilu b'mokim shehoyo ofel v'choshech, even where it was very dark for the person, meir loy haseichel, the seichel shines a path for him. Kishezoichel lehistakel al haseichel shiyesh sham b'chol dover, when the person is zoichel to look at the seichel that's found in every object, umekarei voisei l'Hashem yisborach, and the seichel is what brings him close to Hashem. Now just to go off for a second on a small tangent, the Meforshim point out here, just to give an example, a mushel of this, where Yosef HaTzadik looked at Seichel, and it shined a path for him within the Choshech. What is choshech? Choshech is averos. Choshech is the satan, the Yetzer Hara. If the Yetzer Tov is symbolized by Torah, Torah is oyer, kiner mitzvah of a Torah oyer, then the Yetzer Hara is symbolized by choshech. When the satan approached Yosef HaTzadik and wanted him to commit the sin with Potiphar's wife, what saved him? What saved Yosef HaTzadik? The pasuk said, the Gemara says, "Demus diyuknoi shelov ivro." He saw an image of the face of his father Yaakov Avinu, and by looking at his father's face, that's what gave him the inspiration to overcome this. The Meforshim and the Likutei Moran point out here that this is the symbol of looking at the seichel, chochmas odom toyer ponov. Yaakov Avinu, who is the symbol of Chochmah, when Yosef HaTzadik looked at this Chochmah, even if it was a mokim of Ofel and Choshech, he was in Potiphar's house, and she was looking to invite him to commit a sin. In that place, looking at the Seichel, was able to like give him a rope to pull himself out of this pit of darkness. It shined a beam of light for him that he was able to use to escape from the Choshech, from the sin. So these are Rabbi Nizal's words up until now, explaining what we said till now. Now Rabbi Nizal quotes a Gemara. We mentioned in the beginning when we first started these shiurim that the first 14 chapters in Likutei Moran are also based on the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chona that are presented in the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara there represents about 20 extraordinary stories, visions that Rabba Bar Bar Chona saw, which seem to have no clear purpose as the stories are themselves. The Meforshim, the Marsho, and other Meforshim show that these are actually Misholim to show us very, very deep items in Musar, in religion. Rabbi Nizal said that Rabba Bar Bar Chona came to him and asked him to please take up these stories, to darshan on these stories, and Rabba Bar Bar Chona told him that he will help him, he will give him insights into understanding these stories. This is going to be the first one. You'll see how beautifully Rabbi Nizal explains and interprets one of these stories. Rabbi Nizal says now, "Vezeh pirush mashom Rabba Bar Bar Chona." With what we learned till now, we can understand the explanation for one of these stories that Rabba Bar Bar Chona related. What did he say? Rabba Bar Bar Chona said one time he was riding on a ship at sea and he saw a wave. He saw a huge wave in the distance. And he said, "Hai gala, this wave, dematbo lisfinta," which appeared to be coming to drown the ship that I was on. This was a huge wave that appeared to be coming at the ship, looking to drown the whole ship. Mischazi kitzutzisa denura chivrsa bereisha. It appeared as if it had a spark of white light at its head. We know that waves in the ocean have peaks. Those white peaks, the foam on top of the wave, that's like a whiteness in the distance. Now, Rabba Bar Bar Chona said he saw this huge wave coming at him, and he saw the tip of it, and it appeared like a white light, a spark of white light in the darkness. Umochinon lei, and how did we subdue this wave? This wave looked like it was going to come crashing down upon us, and it was going to drown the ship. How did we overcome this wave? Rabba Bar Chona said, we subdued it, ba'alvisa, with a stick, d'chokik alei ekya asher ekya. This stick had engraved in it the name of Hashem, ekya asher ekya, and this stick we used to subdue this wave that was coming to destroy us. If you take a look for a second at the side here, Rashbam, on Baba Basra over there, you don't have Rashi towards the end, you have the Rashbam. Nura chivrsa, eish levena, a white fire. Umalach maziku. But the Rashbam explains this was actually a malach mazik. This wave was actually an angel in the form of a wave who was looking to harm them, who was looking to destroy the people riding on this ship. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to take each word of this story apart and explain it. Galo hu hayetzahara. A wave is the symbol of the Yetzer Hara. We find throughout the Navi many times a Jew living in this world is compared to a person riding in the sea, riding in the ocean. And the waves coming at him represent all the efforts of the Satan to defeat the person. The main objective of a Jew in this world is the Melchemes HaYetzer, to succeed in coming close to Hashem. The waves, that block him or that make it difficult for him to move ahead, to plod ahead to his destination, represent the Satan, the Yetzer Hara. The Matbal Sfinta, this wave that wants to drown the ship. Hu Hachein Vachashivus. Sfina is the Hebrew word for a ship. Safun also means important. Rabbi Nezal says the Sfina here, the ship, represents the Chashivus of Klal Yisrael, the importance of the Jew, the charm of the Jew. Loshen Safun V'choshuv, as the Gemara says in Moed Kotten, Tavchof Ches, the Gemara says they are Man Safun, Man Choshuv. Who is important? We see the word Safun there is used to mean important. So there's a wave that's looking to drown the importance. The importance of whom? The importance of the Jewish people, the Chashivus, the Chen and Chashivus of Klal Yisrael. Ki hayetzahara roitze lahatbia ulahashpil chas v'sholem b'chinas hachein v'achshivus shel Yisrael. The yetzahara wants to drown and to weaken the chein and chashivus of Klal Yisrael, b'chinas malchus d'kedusha, the kingdom of holiness, because he represents the opposite of it. The yetzahara represents the malchus harishua, which is always looking to battle against the malchus d'kedusha. We quoted the Gemara in Pesachim, ula'oim mil'oim ye'emotz. The Satan knows that he and Klal Yisrael are on two ends of a seesaw. When the Yidden are down, Esav is up. Edom is up. When the Yidden are up, automatically the Malchus HaRishua is down. So that therefore the Satan is looking to be Machnia, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the Chen and Chashivas of Klal Yisrael. Umischazi ki tzutzisa denura chivra sabereisha. And this wave appeared like a white spark, like a glowing thing, an item of beauty. Whiteness represents purity, goodness. The wave seemed looked in the distance like a beautiful thing. Ki mitchilo hayetzahoro mislabesh atzmoi b'mitzvois. Rabbi Nezal here gives us a very important yesoid in Yiddishkeit. You should know that when a Jew is looking for Yetzahara, a lot of times you figure you're going to see a guy dressed up in a cowboy uniform, looking very ugly, missing all his teeth, and he smells, and he's disgusting, and he says, come with me, I'm going to lead you to blood and grime. You figure you're looking for somebody who's going to appear to be dirty and ugly and disgusting. The Satan knows that that's not the way to present himself. That's not the way a salesman presents himself. A salesman, the most critical thing of a salesman is appearance. He's got to dress immaculately. He's got to look, he knows that many times, a lot of dumb people judge a book by its cover. So he knows he walks through the door, a lot of people are just going to take one glance, and that first glance gives them their impression of the person. And if he looks ugly or disgusting or dirty, automatically people are not going to be interested in what he has to offer, what he has to sell. Whereas if he presents himself glowing and nice and beautiful, a person's going to be inclined to listen to what he has to say, to accept his offer. The Yetzer Hara knows this also. And when the Yetzer Hara comes to a religious Jew, he doesn't come to him and say, I'm going to invite you to do an Avera. He comes to him and he tells him, I'm going to invite you to do a mitzvah. Come with me, we're going to do a mitzvah. We're going to scream Rishoim. We're going to embarrass other people. We're going to see a Jew doing something wrong. We're going to go over to him and insult him. And naturally, that's a big mitzvah. Or all kinds of other things. Thousands of examples of this, where people are misled into thinking they're doing something good, they're doing something constructive, when actually what they're doing is an avera, rachmana litzlan. A person could lose their olam haba completely by making a little bit of a mistake in shikul hadas, miscalculating. You embarrass somebody publicly, or you do certain other things which could seem to be positive on the surface and are really very, very negative, rachmana litzlan. And this could be exactly what the Satan wants. The Satan is not looking to make a $10 sale. He's looking to make a $20,000 hit. He knows if he gets a person to do a real big Avera, if he can create Machlekes and Klal Yisrael or other things like that, he knows he's done tremendous destruction. So Rabbi Nezal says, Ki mitchila yitzahora mislabish atzmai b'mitzvois. At first, when the Satan first appears to a person, many times he presents himself cloaked in mitzvahs. Umate esodom, and he misleads the person, ki'ilu meisisoi lases mitzvah, as if he's going to present the person with something good, Ha'omrim l'ra toiv, the pasuk says. The satan comes to a person, he doesn't say, I'm going to invite you to do terrible things. He says, come, let me show you a good time. Why else, if Hashem is good, and Hashem created the world, why else would He possibly have created this world other than for people to have a wonderful time? These are all the tricks of the Satan looking to present. He's mislabesh b'mitzvah. He's coming with sechel, with svara, with logic, just as the nochosh, when he presented himself to Chava, what did he present himself with? Mitzvah. You know why Hashem told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Listen to me. Because Hashem knows that if you'll eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll become so wise and smart. V'yisem kelikim yoidei toivora. What could be more inviting than that? Taste this, you'll be as knowledgeable as Hashem. That's a mitzvah. The whole Torah is knowledge. Everything Hashem wants. We're learning about the importance of Chochmah and Seichel. This is how the Satan sold Chava down the river. This is how Misa was introduced to the world. How? He didn't tell her, I'm going to introduce you to death. He said, come with me, I'm going to show you Chaim. I'm going to show you Chochmah. You want Chochmah? The purpose, the tachlis in this world is Chochmah? Come with me, I'm going to show you the epitome of Chochmah. Just like Rahman al-Islam, those Jews that delve into philosophy. What is philosophy? It's Chochmah, it's Sechel. That's the whole epitome of the world. Yedativ, Hashem wants people to know. But there is a chachma, Rahman al-Islam, that's poisonous, that's deadly, that's the opposite of emunah, that's the opposite of faith in Hashem. And we know that the tachlis of chachma d'kedusha is emunah. For a Jew to be zeichah, to get to a level where he believes in Hashem. So Rabbi Nazal says, v'zeh b'chinas tzutzisa denura chivrasa. This is why the Gemara says that the wave appeared like a white spark. Eish levena. The Rashbam says, The wave, in other words, in the distance, he didn't see the whole wave. He noticed the top, the crest. He noticed all he saw was whiteness. When you look at a wave in a distance, you don't see the whole thing because there's other waves in front of it and the whole format of the ocean. All you see is the top. On the surface, it appeared to be white, purity. Rabbi Nazal says, Eish levena, afal pikein malach maziku. But the Rashbam says, haha, don't be misled by this whiteness. This whiteness is a false whiteness. It's only a cover. On the inside, it's all red. It's all black. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Shekhinah is compared to an apple. We say on Friday night in the Zmirois, Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin, that one of the nicknames of the Shekhinah is a field of holy apples. Why is the apple the symbol of the Shekhinah? Because we say about the Shekhinah that the outside, Merkavoy Argomon, that the outside of the throne of Hashem appears to be purple. Purple is a dark color. Toichoi rotzuf avu. The inside is lined with love. The apple is the symbol of the Shekhinah because the Shekhinah is like Klal Yisrael. A Jew is supposed to have a hard shell on the outside. He's supposed to appear tough on the outside. There are times when a person's supposed to be tough. Comes to children, it comes to Talmidim. The Gemara says, Zroik Mora, that a Rebbe is supposed to see to it that the Talmidim should be very serious when they're coming to learn. A parent, the Gemara says, Leilem he smoil dechiyim in mekarev. With the left hand, keep the child away. Keep the child at arm's length. With the right hand, be mekarev. Now the question is, what's the ratio? The answer is, just like in an apple. In an apple, if you look at an apple on the outside, it looks complete red, din, harshness, yetzahara, soton, redness. However, how thin is that coat of redness? It's like a millimeter thin. And then the inside, 99% of the apple is whiteness. Whiteness is chesed. Whiteness is purity. So too with the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah, the kingdom of Klal Yisrael, the kingdom of Hashem, appears on the outside to be din, harsh. But 99, if a person looks a little bit deeper, you see that toichoi rotzuf avo, the inside, the center, which is 99% of it, is lined with avo, with love. The soton is the exact opposite. It's like a pill, medicine. Person takes medicine. The soton, the malach hamavos, is compared. The Gemara says, toiv sheberoifim legehenim, that doctors are the symbol of the malach hamavos, the symbol of death. We know that, what does a doctor give? He gives a pill. What is a pill? On the outside there's a thin, thin coat of sugar that's hiding and disguising something that's very, very bitter. You open that pill, you take off that thin, sweet lining, you see how bitter that medicine is. So too, the things that the Satan offers a Jew. At first, it appears to be very sweet, very enjoyable, but the sweetness is very thin, very short. The results, the damage that comes from those that follow the Satan, he gets a Jew to commit a sin of adultery, Rachmanus, another Averis. The pleasure lasts how long? 15 minutes at most. The damage, we find people in history, you read newspapers, a person hears about what goes on in the world, people whose entire lives were destroyed as a result of a little bit of pleasure. A person made a small mistake and went after something they weren't supposed to, and the damage is very lasting. Just as the Gemara in Pesachim tells about the Mitzrim. When the Mitzrim came to Klal Yisrael, how did they come? First they came brothers, sweet, delicious. Paroi came out to work with them for the first day or two. Then afterwards, slowly but surely, that thin sugar coating wore away, and it got bitterer and bitterer and still bitterer until they got to see, to feel the full bitterness of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the symbol of the Sotan, this Erevas Ha'oretz, Rachmona Litzlan. Rabbi Nazal says now, Umochinon Lei, and Rabbi Bar Bachana said, how did we overcome this wave? How does a Jew overcome the Sotan, the Yetzer Hara? Be alvaso with a stick, the chokik ale ekya shirekya. Hainu sheikar hachnoso shle yitzahoro hu al yedea Torah. The main hachno of the yitzahoro is only through the Torah. The Gemara says, Borosi yitzahoro, Borosi Torah tavlin. Hashem says, I created this menace, and I created an antidote to him. There is something that can subdue, that can suppress the Sotam, that can overcome him. What is it? The Torah. Shehi kula shemoisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is filled with the names of Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal show how every single word in the Torah is actually a name of Hashem. There are many words, we don't necessarily see this on the surface. We don't know some of the disguises of names of Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh shows how every single word in the Torah, the word Haleluka, Hey Lamed Lamed, Halil is Bigimatria Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And the remaining letters, Yud Kei Vav, referring to Yud Kei Vav Kei. Many, many other examples. Ravo, Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach. The word Rabo, Resh Beis Aleph. The Zohar HaKadosh shows how that's actually different Yichudim. Yud Kei Vav Kei Elikim plus Yud Kei Vav Kei Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Different Yichudim, the word Ner, Ner Elikim Nishma Sodom. Again, the word Ner makes up different Yichudim of Hashem's names. So we find that the Torah is called Kula Shemoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is filled with the names of Hashem. V'HaTorah Hi Bechinas Vov. And we know that the Torah is symbolized by the letter Vov. We see the Gemara tells us this in Baba Basra. The Gemara says, HaLuchos Orkon Vov V'Rochbon Vov. That the Luchos, which contained in them the entire Torah, when Hashem presented the Luchos to Moshe Rabbeinu, what were their dimensions? They were 6 by 6. 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. So we see that the Torah is symbolized by the letter Vov. We know also our Pi Kabbalah again. Vov represents Tiferes, Zeranpin, and Tiferes is Torah, Talmud Torah. The Rosh Hiteves for Tiferes, Nazir HaKadosh Tov Tov, stands for Talmud Torah. That Torah is this symbolized by the letter Vov. V'zeh bechinas alvaso. This is why he said a stick, Dahainu Maklois, sticks. Dechokik alei ek yasher ekye, Hainu Shemois. This refers to names. We know the Arizal says that the name Ekye Asher Ekye, what is Ekye Asher Ekye? Ekye is 21. Ekye Asher Ekye, 21 times 21, is Bigimatria 441, which is Bigimatria Emes. Emes is the nickname of the Torah. Torah's Emes Hoysa Befihu. Many, many psukim in the Torah showing that the Torah is emes. When we say an alvaso, the chokik alei eke asherekia, this is the symbol of the Torah, which has in it this eke asherekia, it has in it this emes, this mid of emes, that's the main light of the Torah. Emes is roish, toich, and soif. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, mem is the middle letter, tof is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. That's koilel, everything, everything. Just as you have the 22 letters of the Torah, the Chof Beis Asfon Doiraisa, if you take the 22 letters, the Chidozal says, if you take the 22 letters of the Torah and add them up, 1 plus 2 plus 3 till 10, and then Chof, Lamed, Mem, so on and so forth, the Gematria is exactly 1,496. 1,495. I'm sorry, 1,495. Which means 495 plus 1. Aleph is 1,000, Aleph is 1. 495 and 1 is 496, which is the Bechina of Malchus is 496. That's these 22 letters of the Torah, they are Malchus. The word Emes, the Chidozal says, is also this 1,496. How? The Aleph is Aleph, 1,000. Mem, Bemilui, is pronounced Mem, as if it were written Mem, is 80. Tuf is spelled Tuf Yud Vov. We had it over here, Visvisa Tuf. 416. 416 and 80 is 496. 1,496. Emes is 1,496, which is the gematria of the Chof Beis Asfon Doiraisa, the 22 letters of the Torah. The whole Torah is Kulay Emes. It's Kulay Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the names of Hashem. So Rabbein Azal says now, Bechinas HaTorah Shi Bechinas Vov, V'Havov Hi Tzuras Makol. The letter Vov is the shape of a stick. When he said we used a stick, which had carved out on it, the name Eki Asherekia, Vov, the stick, represents this letter Vov, which is the Torah, the Luchos. V'hi kulo shmoisav shel Hashem Yisborach. Hainu shehatoyra agdoisho hi machna sesei tzahora. Rabbi Bar Bachana was saying that what did we use to subdue this wave? The Torah. Sheroitzel ase sesodom mishuga mamish chas v'shalom. The Yitzahora wants to make a person crazy. Ki balaveiro hu mishuga. We know that a person that commits a sin is irrational. Which person in their right mind who knows that if I do this, they're going to light a match to me. They're going to put me in a furnace for a minute or two. A person just has to take a match and hold it under their finger for 5 seconds, then go ahead and do a sin, knowing honestly that they're not going to put a match to your finger, they're going to put a match to your whole body. They're going to immerse you in a Gehenna of fire. Which person in their right mind would do that? The answer is, the Gemara says, nobody. The only way the Satan gets a Jew to do a sin is he puts him in his wrong mind. Person becomes irrational. Rationally, there's no way in the world, if a person knows that the schar for a mitzvah is infinite. The Gemara says, schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. There doesn't exist enough money in this world, enough pleasure, to compare to what Hashem is going to reward a Jew for one mitzvah. And the punishment, the Gemara says, Gehenna, the fire of Gehenna, is 60 times hotter than any fire imaginable in this world. You're going to tell me somebody normal that's faced with a choice of doing this or this is going to go ahead and do an Aveira? The answer is no. The Satan is capable of grabbing hold of a person for a minute, for a moment, and making the person abnormal, irrational, where the person isn't really thinking normally. If you were really thinking, there's no way in the world you would go ahead and do that. As the Gemara says, Kama Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, in Saita, Ein Odom Oivar Aveiro Elim Kenichnas by Ruach Shtus. A Jew does not commit a sin unless a Ruach of stupidity overtakes him, a spirit of foolishness. And just like when a person becomes nuts, mentally ill, how do they deal with people that become hysterical, people that become crazy? There are two things that they used to do for such a person. Number one is they would smack him. A person becomes hysterical, you beat the person, you can beat the hysteria out of a person, literally. Person goes nuts, a child touches something, touches a fire. You tell a child not to touch the fire, and the child becomes nuts for a minute, and he wants to tease the parent, he wants to touch the fire. How do you convince that child not to do it? You take the hand, you put it near the fire, and then smack. A good hard zetz. The child knows not to do that again. Child might do it one more time, a second tease, then you grab that hand, give another slap. The maklis, the stick, teaches not to do something that the child himself should know, nuts. What pleasure are you getting out of that? You simply want to tease. Sometimes a child becomes crazy. Wants to do something, lahachis. He's told, don't do it, so he goes ahead and does it. How do you convince him not to do it? The Torah says a parent is required at times to smack a child. You smack the child, he learns not to do it. That's one way. Another way, Rahman al-Slan, in the olden days, there were times when a person's mind became mentally affected, where a person couldn't see right from wrong at all. They would put a kameya on the person. They would give the person a kameya, an amulet, that had in it the name of Hashem, and this would correct an imbalance in the person's mind. Rahman al-Slan, there were people that went crazy, Rahman al-Slan, and this was able to correct it. We're going to see in a minute, the Medrash Rabbah talks about this. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, "Ukemoi sham mishugoim tzrichem lakoisam velosam aleim shemois." Just as a mishugana, you have to hit him and place upon him these names of Hashem. Kemoi kein mamish. Similarly too, haTorah sheoiskin. When a Jew studies Torah, the Torah possesses these two powers. He bechinas maklois v'shemois. The Torah is like a stick. The Torah is compared to the Vav. The Luchos were Arkan Vav, Rochban Vav. The Torah symbolizes the stick. And Shemois. The Torah is Kula Shemois of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. It has these Shemois in it. Shebozeh makin umachnin as Yetzahara. With the Torah, Yid is zeichet to strike and weaken the Yetzahara. Umegarshin min ha'odom es ha'shigoyin v'roch shlush ha'nechnas boi. And this helps to chase away the stupidity and the foolishness that has entered into the person. The study of Torah has this gift in it that it serves as this combination of the stick and the kameya. Kanal, as the Gemara said, we defeated this wave with a stick that had on it the names of Hashem. Now we see a clear, similar item to this in the Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Chofei, the Medrash says, Rav Huna b'shem Rabbi Binyamin ben Levi Omar. Rav Huna said in the name of Rabbi Binyamin ben Levi, they're discussing the pasuk Eitz Chaim hi lamachzikim bo, that the Torah is compared to a tree of life. The Torah is compared to a stick. Eitz Chaim hi. So the Medrash says, Rav Huna b'shem Rabbi Binyamin ben Levi Omar, Moshe lemelech shomar levnoi tzeila prakmatya. This can be compared to a king who said to his son, I want you to go out into the world and do business. Omar loy, so the son says to his father, Abba, my father, misyoriani baderech mehalistim. When I travel on land, I'm afraid of bandits, armed bandits. Ubayam mipnei apurtin. And when I travel in the ocean at sea, I'm afraid of mazikim at sea. Ma osa oviv, what did his father do? Notal makol, his father took a stick, v'chokakoi, and he carved out the inside of the stick, v'nosan boi kemeya, and he put an amulet inside the stick, v'nosno lebenoi, and he gave it to his son, v'omalo, and he said to him, yehi hamakol hazeh biyotcho, let this stick be in your hand, v'iato misyore mishum beria, and you need not be afraid of any item, any being whatsoever. The Medrash says, "Kach af kach omar lo Yakodesh Baruch Hu leMoshe." So to Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Emor li Yisrael, say to the Yidden, Bonai, my children, isku b'Torah, study Torah, ve'ein atem misyorim mishum umo, and then you won't have to be afraid of any nation in the world." People want to know, we have all kinds of journalists, big geniuses, writing articles. Why are people in Israel sitting and study Torah when there's a war going on? It's a war going on. Everybody should buy machine guns and everybody go out and shoot people. Very intelligent, very wise. That's half the war. We're not saying that that's not necessary, because the Torah says, Ein Seimchen Al Anes, and we today are not necessarily great enough tzaddikim that if we'll all sit in a Beis Medrash and study Torah, the Gemara says that there was a time when Yidden studied Torah and they wouldn't die. Dovan HaMelech knew that he was supposed to die on a certain day. He started learning Torah, and the Malach HaMavis couldn't get to him. He couldn't kill him, the Gemara says clearly. And Rabbeinu Zal says, today we find that there are people who die over a Gemara. How is that possible? Person sitting and learning and dies. How is it possible? The answer is the learning is not on the same level as that level we were speaking about before. So on one hand, we know that there is a need for a milchama, for kreva, when Yaakov Avinu went against Esav, he used kreva, there was physical milchama, but there's also another stick, another type of gun that's used, and that's the study of Torah. The Torah says clearly, kol ha-mekabel olav oil Torah, ma'avirin me'olav oil derech eretz. Hashem says if the Yidden will accept upon themselves the suffering of the study of Torah, the difficulty of the study of Torah, we will eliminate from them all other difficulties. They won't have the hassles of the Arabs and the other nuts and all the other problems that the Yidden have. All of those problems will be eliminated. So we see here from this Medrash clearly something very similar to the point that Rabbeinu Zal is bringing across here in interpreting this story of Rabbah Bar Bar Chana. Rabbeinu Zal says now, V'zehu ashrei tmimei derech. Now we're going back to the pasuk that we originally quoted. Ashrei tmimei derech, ha'holchem b'teres Hashem. We'll hold it over here now. I don't want to rush this last paragraph. We have 1 minute left in the shir. In Yitz Hashem, next week we'll complete this last paragraph and we'll fill in a few additional items that need to be filled in tying together this whole Torah on Likutei Moran.